Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. Bulldog is off today. Got three guests for you. Joe, am I right about this coffee?
Oh, I haven't had any yet.
You have it in there?
I have it in here.
Take a sip. Tell me what you think.
Might have to have a cool down for a second, though. But let me
cool
just make
down.
Sure. Well, this.
It's coffee.
What is this? A thermos? Well, yeah, but you don't want it scalding hot.
Joe, it's been sitting out there for 20 minutes. I made it 20 minutes ago. It's got. There's a burner. Yes.
Okay. No, it's
but
the perfect temperature.
It's the perfect temperature.
It's good coffee.
It is good, right?
Yeah.
Why is it good? I didn't do anything.
Nothing different
to it. You open a little bag, you dump the contents of the bag into the filter, stick the filter into the machine, that's it. Walk away. Push a button, walk away.
But it does taste different.
It is good, yes. Now, if they change the bags, if it's a new company or something like that, I doubt it, but if they did that, that would make sense.
Did it seem like a new box in there?
No. Not even a little bit. Maybe, looked very much like the usual box.
I don't know. Maybe the coffee company has got some other premium blend
premium,
of their coffee,
yes.
And they mispackaged one of them.
Maybe
so
we
this
just
one
drank
slipped
the golden
in.
Ticket.
The golden ticket of the...
I don't know. It's weird to me. Like, why is this good? Why, it's got to be me. But you agree. Anyway.
There's not much you can do different.
There's nothing to do with it. It's just you dump it in and you push the button. There's no, I didn't add anything, of course. I wonder if anybody's ever done that. All right, so we had this off and on, this continuing conversation last year. So where were we at last mid-April? Like everybody was shut down and we were really worried about the future with good reason. And so one thing that we talked about here was predicting whether Josh Allen would get a big contract before the start of the 2021 season. This conversation goes back to well before the 2020 season started. What are the odds that Allen gets paid, you know, right? Hashtag gets paid before next season starts. And, you know, there was kind of unanimous sentiment about it that it was very likely to very likely. And then the season started and it was just like, okay, this isn't even interesting anymore. Because of course he's going to get that contract. Other guys are more interesting. Like Mayfield is interesting for this and other guys too. But Darnold would have been, or maybe that would have been just obviously no. But he did get that fifth year option picked up. That's a different point. It didn't even really seem to be worth it to really talk about the Allen question. Because it seems to me anyway, if I'm not making that obvious, it seems to me that it's extremely likely that he gets that contract maybe this summer. Okay, well, you know, that's what it would have to be, right? Because that was the question. By the beginning of 2021 season. Joe, what are the odds of an Eichel trade? What's your number? So with Allen, we were all in the 90s the last time we did this. You want a specific number. No decimals, no fractions, but like 92%, 95%. What are the odds of a Jack Eichel trade by, well, whenever? I mean, before he, what are the odds he never plays for the Sabres again?
51%.
I was going to say 50%. Yeah. How about that?
So I priced his right it.
But without even
knowing.
Me bidding first. I mean, that's a great job. I'll still go 50 because then I get a little bit more.
Yeah,
right?
It sounds like it's very possible.
So this Darren Dreger on the Instigators today, I think I'm like one of the people, and I guess there are a lot of these people reading at the comments on Twitter after this interview today. Like, I can't listen to the insider guys for too long because it's just the way of speaking just pretty much covers every possible outcome. And it's just, you wonder sometimes what they know. But I will, having said that, I will say about Dreger today, he said, I don't see Eichel playing there next season. And that is not equivocating on the usual level. That is firmer than that. I don't see him playing for the Sabres next season. Now, it is perfectly reasonable to me if you want to dismiss it. And I tell you every day for one reason or another, I'm gullible. I don't know if I want to dismiss it. I feel like the easy route, I think a lot of the time those guys will want to take the easy route. And you know, it's got to be hard. I don't know, hard, but they're on the station every week. Dreger and Elliot Friedman are on the show every week and getting a lot of the same questions, and there doesn't have to be new information. So in a longer 15, what do they usually do? 15, 20 minutes or whatever. That's what we do. It can be challenging to say, you know, if you will, it can be challenging to say nothing and take 20 minutes to say it. So the safer, more typical kind of talking about Eichel is a lot of what else he said, which is, you heard him, we just had a soundbite in sports where he talked about how the Sabres have a lot of work to do on their roster, which we're all aware of, and that trading Eichel would make that easier. He almost sounded like he was saying that would make it possible, not just easier, but that it would make it possible to do that work. I don't want to go that far. That is sort of how it, you know, that's not really anything to say. You or I could say that. And it's just like, you know, it's a throwaway sort of comment. It's meaningless because that's just obvious. I mean, the only reason for the conversation is that they're terrible and Eichel is great. So are you're faced with this option, this choice, and whether to trade him and turn him into other players. Like, that's, you're not having the conversation if they're not in that hole to begin with. So that kind of thing, you just don't need it. There's no value in the comment. When he says, I don't see him playing there next season, he didn't say there, he said for the Sabres or in Buffalo. I just shortened it. I don't see him playing there next season. I mean, that's something. Especially for these kind of interviews. I mean, that's really something, I think. I'm in this kind of mode lately because of the draft, where we're taking Adam Schefter's tweets apart. We're taking everybody's tweets apart to try to figure out what they really know. Because they don't just tell you what they know. They tell you pieces of what they know, whatever serves their interests. And here, Dreger comes on GR and is like, I don't see him back. So is that something or is that nothing? I thought yesterday Scott Cullen made a great point about Eichel on this show. And I don't know, like, I just never really looked at it this way, but when he said it, I felt kind of like, of course, you know, why didn't I think of that? He said that the question really could be, I would say maybe should be, in terms of Eichel, what can the Sabres be next year? And that's what they might have to demonstrate to him, show to him, to have him want to stay on board, to not want to be traded. Can this team, what would you think? Does it have to be great? I mean, he's been in the league for 6 years, and they've always been terrible. Getting, like I said to Scott yesterday, getting in the playoffs is not the goal. Getting in the playoffs is not the point. That's not what a great player strives for. You're striving to get your name on the cup. I mean, that's what, you know, if I don't know if I don't have to be right here, but when I try to read Eichel or just think about what he might be thinking, cups are the way great players, and this can be any player, but average players don't have any control over this or much control. Great players, this is how they're measured. All the goals, all the stats, all the trophies and everything, fine. No one disputes their individual greatness. It's just sort of there, and they get paid accordingly, and that's it. But what makes one, puts one on a higher level than another is championships. It's what happened with Steve Yzerman. I mean, Steve Yzerman won cups and then became this bigger thing. And that's other guys through the years, Messier, of course. You know, great players that lose. Ovechkin, it was comical, the conversations about Ovechkin when? 10 years ago? It was comical. Because you had people, even people we know, you had people who would just find the worst ways of criticizing him. Like, he's not this because... There was one particular time where I had my fun with it because this one play in a game against the Rangers was so embarrassingly bad. But look, you got to know how to measure value. And his value is in goals, and it's elite. It's extremely elite, if that's a thing. He's the greatest goal scorer in the history of the league. It's way harder to score than it was when Gretzky played. Like, it's just definitive. But he didn't have cups until what? Like 3 years ago. He didn't have a championship. And that team and that player were always dogged for it. Fair or not. This is not a conversation about whether it's fair, as much as I might be willing to turn it into one. It's not a conversation about whether it's fair. It's a conversation about whether it happens. That's what you're there for. You're making your money, you're winning your awards, you're scoring your goals. That's what you're there for. The Sabres, if I'm looking at it the way I think Eichel maybe would look at it. Who knows? Guys can want to be in places or not want to be in places for any number of reasons. But in terms of his hockey, you got to show me, like, time's up. You got to show me that this can be a great team. And what are the chances of the Sabres being able to do that? What are the chances of the Sabres being able to show him, like, look, this is what we're going to do? I mean, how would you even do it? It doesn't get off the ground. I mean, free agency, trades, the players they have, it just doesn't get off the ground. And I wonder what Don Granato means in such a presentation, right? Like, Eichel would have some feeling about him, I guess. I mean, right? He would have had conversations. He hasn't played for him yet, right? He was hurt before the coaching change,
right.
I think.
Yep.
Anyway, I thought that was a really solid point, that it's not just the 6 years that have gone by. It's, all right, so you show me what you think you're going to do, what you're going to try to do next year. It has to be realistic. I don't want to hear about how you're going to trade for McDavid. Like, it has to be realistic. Show me what you're thinking, and then I have to determine whether that is, like, worth it. There's also with this, like, I don't know. I just want to say this once at least. It can be a bad look for a guy, right? Like, Eichel has committed to the Sabres. He has a contract. One can understand why he might be done, like, emotionally or mentally with them. I've felt that way a lot. Like, I you can understand why anybody would feel that way. But, you know, it still will not look great on him if he forces it. If it goes public and he just forces, I'm just done with you guys. Because people don't like that. Sports fans don't like that. Again, if I need to say it, I have no idea what he's thinking. I think it's interesting that Darren Dreger said, I don't see him playing for the Sabres. It didn't sound like a guess. It didn't sound like, well, I, it doesn't sound like, it didn't sound like this. It didn't sound like, how I'm talking, which is just like, you know, maybe he would look at it this way, because those guys do talk like that a lot, like I am. It sounded like more to me. And then he mentions the Kings. I don't know what I'd want to do with that, like a specific other team. Of course other teams would want him. All the other teams would want him. So, of course, that's true, but why L.A.? L.A. is not exactly prospect-rich.
Ooh, see, well, not in depth, but they have guys at the top.
At the top, right, okay.
Byfield was the second overall pick last year. Turcotte, the year before, was the fifth overall pick. And they've got a couple other guys whose names are escaping me now. But the difference between them and the Rangers, who have also been picking at the top of the draft, is their guys are centers. And the Rangers guys are wingers. So, to me, when those two teams get grouped up, I always think of L.A. first. Because if I'm ever getting to a point where I'm moving him and I'm trading him for guys that haven't played in the NHL yet but are, you know, A-plus prospects, I want guys that are centers. And L.A. has that to offer at least.
Is this true? The only way the Sabres deal him is if they think they have to with him. Or is it not as strict as that?
No, I don't. If I were guessing, I would say it's not as strict as that. I think it should be as strict as that. But if they're trying to rebuild it, if they're trying to tear it down, well, you've got to where's the volume coming from in picks and prospects? Because an extra second and a third is not a teardown that's going to help you build it back up. Like, you could nail your picks and just get it by being efficient, but where's the volume so that, okay, I have, you know, 4 seconds in the next 2 years, so I can miss on three of them, but I'm going to get one good guy. You know, where's my extra first-round picks that even Murray had? And I don't see those, so how do you get them? Like, you've got to move someone off the roster to get those. I always want it to be Ristolainen, but it never will be,
no,
ever.
No, it's impossible, apparently.
I don't really want it to be Reinhart. He would do that for you, and I guess if you wanted to go all out and get four, Renaud Lavoie from TVA last month said Eichel would be at least four first round pieces. Like, if you wanted to get that much capital coming back to start over, they could get to that point.
How would it feel if you came up with a trade with LA or anybody that you respected that seemed realistic and decent? How would it feel? Because what you're laying out, and I like this. I like how you're talking. I mean, what you're laying out is, how are you going to get good with him? That's the challenge. How do you get good soon with him?
And not just because you're trying to convince him. Like, how do you actually get good? And they've also tried everything. And that can go to selling and I'm staying too. Like, you can't sell the draft. You've done that. You got Dahlin first overall. That would have made him excited, I'm sure, at the time. You just signed the top free agent on the market in Taylor Hall, and that didn't work either.
You've been through coaches.
You've been through everything, really, other than trading Ristolainen. They've been through everything.
That's not trivia.
No.
That should have happened years ago.
I don't know how it would feel, though.
Of course, obviously.
Part of me thinks it would just be so deflating because you just let that guy go.
But are we
the other part of me
deflated?
Would be like,
all
right, we're starting over. Like, we can reset.
Are we all pretty deflated, though, already? Like, how much deflating is there left to happen?
Not much, if any. So, no, maybe it would. Maybe by the start of the season, there would be more hope for me. I would think more optimistically about them because it's new. It's fresh.
I don't know. I don't want it. I don't want it. You know, a lot of it is just because of, like, this. There's been the trials and tribulations about Eichel and how they got him, which is now six, seven years ago. Like, it's just ancient history. But from that point forward, it's just always, for as long as he's on the team, sort of, it's in the jury room. Like, what about it? Was it worth it? All those kinds of things. And, I mean, if you're not making the playoffs at all, ever, what can you say? How can you say too strongly about how great it is to have him on the team? I don't look forward to a day, just at least professionally. Personally, I might be able to get there. At least professionally, I do not look forward to the day where he is traded and
We're calling a Kings guy to ask about their AHL guy.
I mean, we're just talking about like what a just all the things that would come from. I don't even know if I can specifically give an example yet. I just know how I would not look forward to it. I would not look forward to the conversations. But that has nothing to do with whether it would work. And look, the team is where your loyalty lies. The team is where my loyalty lies, not any one player. When Daniel Briere left the Sabres, I did not start rooting for the Flyers. He is my favorite Sabre of all time. He left. I hated it. I was mad at them like everyone else was, but I did not leave the Sabres. You know, like we don't do that. So if there were an Eichel trade in the future, I mean, it's not – Daniel Briere's team went to the conference finals twice and won the President's Trophy. This team has not even come close to the playoffs. Unless you count last year on a fluke, they were just out, but it's not like it's an accomplishment. Well, we're both at like 50-50. Do you think what Dreger said is meaningful, how he talked?
Yeah, I do. He's also someone that usually does kind of... Like, he'll hedge it a little bit.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And...
They have to. They have to.
There was some of that around that comment, but in the moment where he said it, it seemed pretty convincing to me. And we've heard enough else like it from Friedman and even Paul. Like, we've heard enough like it that I'm taking it seriously.
Yeah, there's definitely more this could happen than there is, come on.
Then that was last offseason to me. Last offseason, I was like, this is not happening. Like, maybe, like, we could talk about if next season goes awful, if it goes very poorly, then there's a conversation to be had. But I was not ready to even consider it as something that could happen last offseason. And this year, this season's gone this way, and I think you have to treat it like something that could really happen. I don't know how you can't. The guy's 6 years in. Think from his perspective. Why would he stay?
Well,
I mean, there are some reasons, of course. Like, he's committed here.
Yes.
Won't want to move his stuff.
Or have anyone do it for him.
Yeah.
You know, this is where you have built relationships. This is your team. You're the franchise player. Lots of guys would stay. He's been treated well. He's been paid $10 million salary. He's gotten moves in the organization that he wanted. He, you know, that doesn't have to win the day, but there are lots of reasons why a player would stay. It's sort of my style to do that. Like this is my home. This is what I've built. This is what I'm working at. I'm not going anywhere. Like this is my life. But, you know, that's not even worth comparing because I'm twice his age and it's a whole different world in every way. Young single guy, like he'll want to. It's what matters is what I said earlier about this. I think probably where can I win? Because everything else is just going to be the same. I mean, in terms of my hockey, everything else is going to be the same. Where can I win? And that's kind of where I think you are, Joe, when you said what you just said.
Yeah.
Which is, how are the Sabres that place? I mean, if it comes down to that, they might be in trouble. 803-0550 is the number. It is kind of fun to watch them lately without him. It is kind of fun. Last night was fun. I mean, look at the snipes in that game. Just great job. Lines are open. We've got Ian Harditz from PFF talking football and fantasy and the draft, all of that in about 40 minutes. We'll have Ben Wagner today on the Blue Jays and Sal Capaccio for a round of schedule predicting. One of our favorite things. Sal will join me for that later in the day. Lines are open for you now. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's why I love offense, and I love to focus on offense because you have the puck more. When you have the puck more, you obviously defend less. And our guys are getting better and improving and enjoying the fact of possessing the puck longer. And that's really helped their confidence, but it's also, and it will help us progressively on the defensive side, obviously. The more you have the puck, the less you have to defend, and you put your opposition in a tougher spot.
Joe, who is this guy? I mean, what are the Sabres doing with a guy like this? That's not what's happened here. I love offense. How dare a coach talk like that? Wow. Whole new world.
He sounds the part.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, I feel like he's probably going to be their coach.
You would make him the betting favorite?
Sure. Over any other particular person, yes. Over the field.
Yeah, Granato or the field.
I think he's probably in good shape. Look, this is the answer to the question every time. The question can sometimes be asked when we're in here debating whether there should be a coaching change. The question is often asked, but who would the coach be? Who can you get? And I always say what? You can get anybody. Just get anybody. Like, what is it? Great coaches with great records get fired all the time. What's the inverse? There'd be a lot of people who could do the reverse, who could an infinite number or anything like that, but wow. I mean, there'd just be hundreds of candidates. I mean, whoever thought of Don Granato as a candidate like that? I don't know. Only in, like, Sabre world would his name probably ever have been, like, mentioned. So here he gets the job, and he takes a team that had lost a billion games in a row, and he's got principles that I feel like are smart and interesting and good, and the team is better. And it happened fast.
And it might never have happened if Kruger had, tread water. If they had not gone on a 10-game losing streak or whatever it was when he was fired. Like, if Kruger goes on a
16, maybe.
Just below 500 pace or something, like, towards the end of the year.
Right.
And he makes it through the season, I don't think they're ever getting to Granato.
No, I agree. He was not going without that streak getting to that epic proportions because they didn't want to do it. I mean, they didn't want to have to pay him to leave. But it got to the point where I guess they felt like they had to. It happens like that sometimes. Yeah, offense. The answer, as it has been every other time, to the question of, well, who would be the coach? Someone else is the answer to that question every single time. It was here. It didn't matter in any of our discussions who Don Granato was. He was somebody else. Somebody else got the job when Ralph Kruger was fired. And look at this. They're not great, but they're a lot better. And it's a very respectable job that's happened here. And guess what? If they go bad, say he is the permanent coach and they start losing and they're obvious, there's a list of things about them that seem just like clearly flawed and messed up, then he goes and I don't know if we can get some. Yes, you get someone else. Someone else comes in and is the coach of the team and you go from there. You just keep changing it and changing it and changing it. The good teams do it. Winning teams do it. You can do it. You have done it, the Sabres. They have done it. They have made a lot of these changes. So, good for them. Good for this guy. He's had a lot of challenges in his life, and he's taken the league's worst team, and he's made it interesting, and they pretty much dusted Washington.
Yeah, not just on the scoreboard.
Yeah, just like they just dusted them.
More scoring chances, expected goals for, they doubled them up. They outplayed them.
Nothing wrong with it at all. They're doing it without Eichel. They're doing it without their goaltending. Like, the goaltending's just a mess, right, and they're still – they had that game. I mean
– AHL guy in that.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Cousins last night, by the way, his numbers, what was it? 13-3 shot attempts and 8-1 scoring chances matched up against Nicholas Backstrom. It's like, it's the young guys, too. Like, that's why I'm optimistic about him. It's not just they're playing well. It's Cousins looks good. Mittelstadt looks great. Thompson looks good. Joki Haru and Dahlin looks incredible right now. Dahlin looks a completely different player.
That's what should have happened. That's what should happen. Not in every case, but in a couple of those cases. I mean, Joki Haru was nice before. Cousins has been nice the whole time. He's a very exciting prospect. So, good for the Sabres. 803-0550 on the coach or on Eichel. We've been talking about them since pretty much three. I don't want to talk about the Sabres all day. The season's shot. Like, who cares that they beat Washington? But it's pretty cool. Felt a little bit good. I'm so ready for the NFL draft, Joe. Like, I want it to be over.
I want it to be tonight.
I want it to be tonight and then be over so we can actually get to work on our fantasy stuff. Because yeah, there's not a lot you can do. I mean, these dynasty leagues are great, and it's fun to speculate on where guys might go, but there's really not a lot that makes sense to do before the draft.
No, you're just waiting. You're in a holding pattern.
Because it can change just dramatically.
I was trying to trade James Robinson in a league the last couple days, and really the only thing I got back was, I want to see what happens at the draft. Like, that's what you're going to get. So, there's not much to do because of that. Because if
Robinson,
if they draft a first-round running back, well, his value goes to, not zero, but close.
Or the second round, even. I'm more interested in tonight, or the Friday night, day two, than one. I mean, one's great. It's the first round, and there'll be a lot there. But rounds two and three, all those running backs, maybe literally, like, there might not be a running back in the first round. Tons of the receivers, tight ends, like, quarterbacks, maybe three in the second round. There'll just be a lot of news, you know, in the second round and in the third round. And I just need it. I need it to happen so that I can actually do what I want to do. So that's 2 weeks away. You've got in the first round, at the top of the first round, we think we know 1-2, and maybe we know 3. We don't know player, but we know position, 1-2-3. So 4 is Atlanta, and that's a really interesting one, the Falcons. I was just reading Mario Puig, who I like to read, and he's right a lot. And he thinks they're doing going quarterback, Joe, Falcons.
Okay.
And he explains it. He says they can get out of Matt Ryan next year. I have to be careful on Matt Ryan's immovable, because Goff wasn't immovable, Wentz wasn't immovable. Those were guys that I thought, like, well, that they're just stuck. We also thought Aaron Rodgers might have been moved by now a year ago at the draft.
Right. But even, like, Wentz was thought of as immovable with a $32 million dead cap number. And, right, Ryan this year is $71 million. And next year it's 40 and a half. So, yeah, maybe they find a way out of it, but it's even more than what we just saw with Wentz and Goff and these other guys. So, I don't know. But couldn't they also do that and just do something? What do you do with Matt Ryan, though? Do you have him sit behind the guy as the backup?
No.
He's not going to retire, I think, at that point. So, you're in a tough spot with him, but team-wise, you might not be back in this position with a quarterback like Fields or Lance on the board.
If he retires for you, I mean, wow, just give him a part of the franchise. That would be a great
gesture. Is that illegal? Can you offer him 10% of the franchise?
You should be. You probably can get away with it. Maybe you have to wait a minute. You can do that anyway. That'll be an interesting one. The Falcons at 4. The NFL draft, round 1 is Thursday night, so 2 weeks from yesterday for that one. We will do a mock draft next week, by the way, on Friday. StreamYard, we'll put it up on the Facebook page. Here's Pat with us. Hi, Pat.
How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just thinking about talking about Jack Eichel, I still don't want to even think about trading Jack Eichel. For me, if I'm Kevin Adams, I'm looking to trade the first-round pick that we get. Even if it's the number one pick, if we win the lottery, I'm still thinking about trading it and getting a proven player to help Jack and maybe something else. Seattle's coming in. We got to protect players. A team for me that I'm looking at is Vegas, to trade with Vegas. They got Alex Tuck For me, I'm looking at Alex Tuch and Marc-Andre Fleury.
Well, I'm not ready to talk about specifics, Pat, but I don't think the Sabres should be closed to any particular idea, including an Eichel trade. I don't think they should be closed to it. When you have lost like this, you need to be open to anything. And all I know about this year's draft is that Paul has said on the air with me, with Bulldog, that it's not a good year. It's not a relatively strong year. So maybe that is a reason to do that, what you're describing, but it's also a reason to think you wouldn't do as well if that's the consensus. I don't know. I just wouldn't want to be close to it. You still, no matter how long it's been, no matter, thank you, Pat, no matter how long it's been since they've been good, no matter what the Eichel thing is, you know, the frustration over 6 years and no winning, no matter how many coaching changes you've made, none of that changes what they are right now. What matters is what they are right now, which is they're needy. They've got to get a goalie going, whether it's Luukkonen or some other idea. They've got to get that. They've got to make that better. They've got to do something about that. Defensively, forward depth, there's really no area where the Sabres are just like fine. So how do you intend to build it? And then you get back, when you think about Eichel, you might need to, I don't know, it's not worth factoring into this point, but you might need to sort of show him what that blueprint looks like. Either way, you have to have a blueprint with him or without him. And, you know, if they ended up trading a top five pick, let's see how they do. I don't think I want to trade it for Marc-Andre Fleury, but no. I wouldn't want to be close to the idea. That's all. Maybe there's a way to do that well. Even an Eichel trade, it's the same thing. Would they probably lose in a trade like that? Would it look like it? Yeah. But really, that's just something to talk about. If he's traded to the Kings and the Kings win, that's great for the Kings, but that doesn't have to affect what happens here. O'Reilly winning with the Blues was humiliating to the Sabres because they were awful. And if the package they got from the Blues worked out, then it wouldn't have been as painful. It would have been just like, all right, that's the kind of trade you're shooting for, that teams are shooting for, where both teams benefit. It wouldn't just be watch Eichel win with LA or whoever. What matters would be how you do, what you get, and what you make of it. The loyalty is to the Sabres. I mean, that's, I don't know. Do I sound like I'm sort of setting myself up or sort of preparing myself for that trade? Maybe I am.
A little bit, yeah. I think we should all be mentally preparing for it a little bit, but. You know, as we're talking about these other teams, by the way, because the Rangers and Kings are almost always the first two teams mentioned, maybe the only two I've ever heard mentioned. And if his number one prerogative is to get to a team where he thinks he has a chance to win a Stanley Cup or to even just make the playoffs, like those aren't, they rate more than the Sabres do. But the Kings have been bad for 5 years now, and the Rangers have a lot of good young players, but they haven't been this elite team either. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if those are the two teams that are the only ones offering you anything, what you think, you know, is worth moving on from him. And he says, you know, that's not really a big enough upgrade for me. Like that could be where a trade breaks down too. That's why I'm at 51% and I'm not at 70.
I love the one,
because there's just so much that goes into it on every side, the other team, the Sabres, and Eichel, too. He doesn't have no movement clause, but he'd still, I'm sure, have some say.
And he will in just over a year.
Have a no movement clause, right. That kicks in
July of 22.
Right.
So at that point, your options just, they're changing. They'd be more limited. I don't know. I don't think that that's a major factor in my mind for this. Should it be? The question is whether he's done. And he could have been done 3 years ago. Or he could not be done now. Or he could not be done in 3 years from now. You just don't know. I don't know. He does. I don't know where that stands. I think it's concerning, if you would loathe the idea of a trade, that the people who are the most connected people in the sport seem to think that it's a real possibility. And that's how they're talking. And so that's where I want to take my lead from them. that they see, they're talking like it could happen. So I want to think, I want to, you know, consider that as a possibility. Ian Harditz coming up at 4, talking NFL draft. Ben Wagner next hour. The Blue Jays looking pretty good so far. Guerrero looks great. So we'll talk some baseball today, too. Sal Capaccio as well. Bulldog is off. I'm Mike Shope with Joe DiBiase here on W.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
GR.
The Bills are pretty stacked at wide receiver right now, but the long-term concern is something to be mindful of. Emmanuel Sanders, probably a one-year thing. Cole Beasley is aging. His contract's up after 2022. Make sure that those ingredients that made Josh Allen an MVP candidate in 2020 are always in place, and that means having four really dynamic wide receivers. Guys like Elijah Moore from Ole Miss or Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, Terrace Marshall from LSU, even take a swing on a Rondale Moore from Purdue or Kadarius Toney from Florida. Those players potentially in a trade back or even just picking one at 30 would give you a lot of comfort in knowing that you're ahead of that need.
G.I. Joe. Grand Island's Joe Marino on our morning show today. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off. Happy Friday. Sal's going to be on later. We're thinking 5 for Sal. Eastern. All times Eastern. And that will... It's a specific request that Sal has approved from me to come on and talk about schedule predictions.
All right.
Going to be a little indulgent here and try to predict the schedule. So now I've done nothing. We have the Thursday night game, which will be Tampa. The Sunday night game could be anybody, but it's going to be marquee. Monday night is a doubleheader, and that does not have to be marquee. It often isn't. How do you go about trying to predict? It's probably futile, but it's also fun, so that's why we do it. Who will play in the first Monday night game? What's like the most key point?
Isn't it usually just kind of a crapshoot? I feel like I never have a good sense.
It's often a New York team. The Giants last year played Pittsburgh. The Jets when Darnold debuted at Detroit.
The Giants at Detroit
was a Monday night opener game. It's also been Washington, Pittsburgh before. So it's been the Steelers a couple times. You want some storyline, but I think they want markets. It's I think they want markets.
And a second-rate storyline, usually. That could be the Jets this year, Zach Wilson.
It could be the Jets this year.
Yeah, like, okay, that's good. I like that. Rookie quarterbacks, big markets, and Wilson fits that. So I always, the only thing I ever think about with early, the first week Monday night games is the Broncos will be on at 10:20.
The Broncos, yeah.
They'll be on at 10:20 every year. Some way, somehow, the Raiders or the Titans. I don't. They'll play in different teams, but it's always Denver.
Who was on? Who was that game last year? I remember the early game, but not the late game. Was it Denver? Denver-Tennessee. Remember the game, Joe?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tennessee-Denver. A.J. Brown got hurt, and they missed a bunch of field goals, but they still won. Tennessee. All right, so maybe the Broncos again, or should we have to mix that up?
And the early game that night was Pittsburgh, Steelers-Giants.
Steelers-Giants, right. So that'll be later. There's a little bit of just, you know, doing some of the groundwork right now is all. Figuring out. Sal might have a different approach. I'm not sure if I want to go back to Denver. I think I want to avoid Denver. If any of this will be about watchability, I don't think I need the Broncos.
And they don't have any interesting storylines.
Not really.
Any? Yeah,
not really.
Unless they draft a quarterback, but.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise,
I agree.
No.
I'd rather watch.
The Jaguars.
Anybody. I think anybody. Maybe anybody. Arizona could be a good pick for that, that game. All right, so that's coming up next on football also. Ian Harditz from PFF with some fantasy in there too. Stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.